I have a special guest on the phone with me. He's been with us before on KTWH, Saqib Mohammed. I hope I pronounced your name right. I forgot to ask you before, but you are, among other things, a professor at UWS and have all kinds of interesting things I could ask you about. But thank you so much for being with us this morning on the radio.
Good morning, Katie. Thanks for having me. And yeah, you pronounced my name right, Saqib. And my last name is, I would say, usually say, you say Ma, M-A-Ma, and then say M, instead of M-U-D, think it is as Mood, M-O-O-D,
Mahmood.
Then it is easy.
Thank you. And probably good for us to have this conversation publicly so everyone knows how to say things.
But call me Saqib. Please call me by my Saqib. First name. First name is easier, I think, Saqib.
Yeah, okay, wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Well, now, last time when we talked, it was about religion and about Muslim religion and the things that you do in this part of the country as part of the Muslim community. And now we're going to talk more about professional and personal life things. You have such an interesting life. And let's just start with, you were just returned from a conference down in southern Wisconsin about sustainable businesses. So tell us a little bit about your work with that.
It's actually, I got affiliated through our program manager in the Sustainable Management Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin system, where we offer both bachelor's and master's in sustainable management online, mainly targeting non-traditional students who have full-time job, young family, or have a business they're running on the side. They don't have time to start their education, or, you know, I'm talking about if somebody finished associate degree long time back or some form of certificate but had a gap because of personal and family issues, or got a job in the family related business or something. They started with their skills, they couldn't start restart or their education, or maybe you can say explore from associate to bachelor's. And also for those folks who finished bachelor's long time back and now they're thinking they need something that will help them in their company to understand about zero waste management, circular economy, closed loop model. What does it mean when you have those recycling things in mind, reuse, recycle, those things in mind? So we have students also in, you know, a good number of students in the master's program as well, and who are also, in fact, I also found a interesting mix there as well. Some of the folks who ran their businesses for a long time, now they decided to pursue a master's in sustainable management to understand how can they manage this waste management and all those issues, and try to give a better picture to their customers, to their community. And also moving forward, definitely when you want to raise money, you want to raise money through shares and also crowdfunding. So you want to have a good track record that you also care about the environment, the people who works for you. It's not only about customers, but also the internal stakeholders, especially employees and your supply chain. So we see a good mix there. And going back to your question, our manager, actually she was in the corporate world before joining us. So she was involved with the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council from the very beginning. She worked in Milwaukee for a long time. Now she is actually, she still is between Milwaukee and Madison now. Because of her job, sometimes travels. She does most of her work from home, but she also travels to the Madison office. So anyway, through her, I got to know about this, and also some of our fellow faculty members. And maybe I was the one that felt like, okay, this is great. Though I live very far away, Superior, and they usually host this even at Madison. It's almost five hours drive. But I don't mind when I first attended this council meeting, seeing professionals in the corporate, not only the corporate world, but also entrepreneurs, small business owners, and also fellow academic researchers, especially those who are doing research in small business, sustainability. I get connected with them, and I also see my own students because they're online, right? And over there, right, I can meet them in person. And of course, here, that's a different thing, Katia. Like in person, I also teach at UW Superior, but they're mainly high school graduates. So it's a interesting traditional students, high school graduates,
yes,
not doing full-time job. But here online, it's totally opposite. So in a way, I actually, this meeting allows me to meet those non-traditional students who are full-time. We see only each other by online communication or through Zoom when we are talking about advisement meeting or something. But this is an opportunity for me to get connected with them in person as well.
Yeah, it sounds like you really are able to reach out to all kinds of people who have a business from all different avenues and that are interested in taking that business into the next century as far as waste and sustainability and even social, like the budget, the different bottom lines. I mean, just so many different things that you offer through education. And it sounds like that is available even if you don't live in the Madison area. So I think, small businesses and how to manage on every level is just such a huge part of the North Shore. I think it's a really relevant thing for people to know. Do you have students from all over? Or are they mostly from, you said there it's online, like from every area, or like you have students from Minnesota?
Yeah, actually all over United States. Of course, majority of them from Wisconsin and Minnesota, but all over United States. And we also have international students from Canada, Japan, and Singapore.
Wow.
And moving forward, we are actually now communicating with a couple of universities in India and Germany, whether the students from there, they don't have to travel to USA, but they can get this degree online, and they have a dual degree, one from, say, a student from Germany doing an environmental engineering degree. At the same time, if he or she wants to get another degree in sustainable management online without coming to USA, then she has one degree from whatever that German university I'm talking about, another degree from University of Wisconsin, which is accredited, and it can be used anywhere in the world with that degree. So we are trying to have that kind of conversation. And also, Katie, going back, my plan is, whatever the experience I'm getting, this Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council conference, can we do a similar thing in our area where two harbors and twin ports, Chambers, business professionals, and our students who might be in close proximity to this two harbor area, or maybe they might be a bit far away in Minnesota. All of, as I said, we have students all over USA, but suppose even they are in twin cities, some of these students can maybe coordinate with us as well, or professionals I'm talking about. But what I'm thinking in the future, if possible, can we do similar thing, or maybe we can invite the people I now have connection in Madison, and they also have similar program or something in our side as well, so that distance is not a problem. Like 5 hours drive, I know, might be taxing for many people, even if they want to go from our side.
Right. Saqib, if there are people listening to this and seeing an opportunity or wanting to learn more, how do they learn about this program or get a hold of you or whoever they should be getting a hold of?
I can do one thing, Katia. Of course, my email is smahmud@uwsuper.edu. I'm repeating again, smahmud@uwsuper.edu. They can email me, or they can find me on LinkedIn Professional Network, where if you type Saqib, SAKIB, B for ball, MAHMUD, D for dog, the last letter. If you search for me on LinkedIn and type, if there are three or four Saqib Mahmood comes up, you just add a superior after my name, and I think my profile will show up. So you can add me there, and we can communicate, especially folks who might be interested in what I shared here.
Yes. And if all else fails, you can also contact me because I have your contact information.
And, yeah, sure, sure, Katia. And if folks want to know more and want to talk with me, even over phone, and as I said, in summer, Katia, I can do one thing. I can visit Two Harbor. I can coordinate with you. Maybe we can meet somewhere in Two Harbors. I don't know. If the Chambers people are also interested, we can meet somewhere over coffee or lunch, where it might be open. Whoever wants to join from this, whoever is listening here, if they reach out to you, and then maybe in the summer I can make a trip from Superior to Two Harbors and have that conversation.
Yeah, sounds like a good beginning of a plan, and I'll follow up with that in the spring. But before we sign out, I would love to ask you a little bit about you. I know you recently traveled to East Asia with your family. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. That's, I would say initially we were, this is after COVID, right? We are having this international travel, and I have a young family, two boys and my wife. We were not sure, a bit of like a trepidation was there, I'll be frank. We were not sure how will it go, but it was great, especially catching up with my aging parents. And of course, my parents are more excited to see their grandson, not me.
Yes, I'm sure.
You know, and same story with my in-laws. They're also aging. So anyway, it's great to catch up, not only with them, but also, your the relatives, friends, and people who influenced you in a different way when as a child, and now, of course, in my I don't want to reveal my age. Actually, I joke with people, I don't want to reveal my age, but I'm a professor. You can imagine I'm not young, of course, I'm not getting younger.
Yes,
but the people who reshaped our journey, definitely sometimes you want to meet them, if you can, if you're in near proximity. So it was great to catch up with them, and also, of course, the food that we meet, right? Not only Mom's Kitchen, but also I would say some of the local foods and delicacies. I wish I could bring a couple of restaurants over here, Katia, if you ask me.
Yes.
But I know they would be hit here, so with South Asia and East Asia mixed cuisine. And, but unfortunately we can't, right? But I wish I have that genie with the lamp, I was talking with my wife that it would have been a great hit because, in Twin Ports, we only have one Indian restaurant, India Palace. Two Harbors, I don't know if there's any East Asian or South Asian restaurant. But as far as I'm concerned, you have to drive all the way, of course, to Twin Cities to have a good meal, Indian food or Nepali food. But that's what I was discussing with my wife. It would have been great. We have some quality, I'm not saying criticizing India Palace here, but don't take it wrong, but maybe more variety. Let's put it that way.
Right. I think that's fair. Fair to ask for more variety.
Yeah.
And then tell us, well, first of all, I want you to know that there is an Indian restaurant growing in Grand Marais now. You maybe don't know that. I think it was a truck for a long time, and now they're moving into a building, and they're apparently hugely popular. So,
Then I'll tell my wife. Maybe a target having maybe lunch over there, and maybe an opportunity to check Grand Marais, and at the same time making sure that we have the lunch over there at that Indian restaurant.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and where exactly were you traveling to visit your family? And also, when did you migrate to the United States?
Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm talking about this summer when we traveled, actually, first we went to, this is a plan in such a way because I missed my sister, of course, during the COVID. With COVID, we kind of traveled. She lives in Australia, Melbourne right now with her young family as well. I have a nephew who just turned 5 recently. And my brother-in-law is a banker, and she's a teacher, just like me. Of course, not in university, she's a school teacher in Melbourne. But anyway, we decided to stop in Singapore for 3 nights so that she can join with her family at least for those 3 nights, because the Australian school system, the vacation doesn't match with ours, the U.S. because of the time zone and everything. Because right now it is midnight in Australia. Now it is early morning, right, in our case.
Yes.
So anyway, we met in Singapore so that she can join us and I can catch up with my nephew. In fact, this is the first time I met my nephew. Due to COVID, we couldn't travel and I missed his birth and when he, that last 3 years or 4 years of his growth. So this is the first time I met my nephew. That was a unique experience, another unique experience, I would say, like the feeling that you are an uncle and you are meeting your nephew this is your nephew in front of you. And we connected just like that. I don't know, sometimes the kids feel that this is an important person or I need to make a friendship with this guy.
Right.
So, I don't know, somehow it worked, just like that. He hugged me immediately without my sister telling, this is your uncle. So that shows, you know. And anyway, and from Singapore, of course, I went to my parents and my in-laws, and we grew up actually in Bangladesh. My wife is also from Bangladesh, so we are from South Asia, actually, you know, in Bangladesh and surrounded by India. I don't know if you look at the geography, we are that small country surrounded three sides in India and one side Myanmar and Bay of Bengal. So
wow.
So these are the countries. Of course, in between. We plan to go many places around Bangladesh, but with the kids and since we felt like it's better to have some quality time with the parents, grandparents, like for my kids, of course, grandparents. We decided to, you know, spend more time in the capital where my parents and in-laws now residing. So maybe next time, you know, we'll, of course, thinking about taking the kids to some of those, you know, that I would say, yeah, it is interesting, like just like USA, India and Bangladesh. So Bangladesh is a small country, but still there's lots of variety. If you go to different places, you'll see even the language, the dialect changes. Same language, but the dialect is so different. You cannot even follow what these guys are saying until they speak in English or they speak in the Bangla, that language, the official language. So, and of course, as I said, we have mountains, we have sea beaches, we have tea gardens, because we were colonized by the British before Second World War. Bangladesh is an interesting story because when British left, they divided the Greater India into West Pakistan, which is now current Pakistan. East Pakistan was Bangladesh, and then India in the middle. And it was the division based on religion rather than culture. So it was a horrible idea, and you can understand now people suffered as a result. There were few wars, and their people have to displaced as a result of that. Suppose if I am a Hindu, I live in West Pakistan, and suddenly with the demarcation, I found out that majority of the Hindus are actually residing in India, and I was indirectly told that I have to leave Pakistan. So many folks have to leave their property around that time because of this rule. I would say horrible. I will use the word horrible rule, you know, by the British when they left. So anyway, we were East Pakistan after Second World War. And then from 1947 to 71, there was a bit of like, you can understand people who are ruling from West Pakistan, there's a huge country, India, and then you have East Pakistan. There's a bit of communication gap in the first place. And then there's the economic discrimination and worst cases. West Pakistan rulers who are actually military people, West Pakistan Army I'm talking about, or East Pakistan, at that time they say West Pakistan, East Pakistan together, Pakistan Army, they rule that we cannot speak in our native language, Bangla. We have to speak in Urdu. So that was the last straw for people in East Pakistan. And there was a war in 1971, where 9 months war, where India, USA, Russia all got involved. And that's how, after 9 months, Bangladesh was born.
Okay. You know?
So we are more, in terms of dress, in terms of food, in terms of customs, we are more related with West Bengal of India. Only difference is West Bengal and India, majority of the people are Hindu. And in Bangladesh, majority of the people are Muslim.
Hmm.
That's the difference, Katia. So we have no culture, customs, commonality with Pakistan.
Yeah.
Which is West Pakistan. So you can understand it was done horribly without thinking the repercussions of the people who, just like I would say Israel-Palestine thing, what is happening now.
Yes.
Same thing happened there. So that's why when there was a discussion with Temple Israel and ICTP in our Twin Ports area, and I'm actually, by the way, vice president of the current ICTP board, this discussion came up and people listened to my story of the South Asia and which one can relate that with Israel-Palestine. It's all become not a religion, it's actually land. Who can control the land? Same thing happened with India, though I was giving that example. If I'm Hindu, unfortunately, with larger property, I fell under that demarcation within Pakistan or West Pakistan around that time. People in West Pakistan who are Muslim and trying to take advantage of the situation, they just told me to leave, you know, just like that. The next morning with your family, you have to leave. Otherwise, there's no security for you. That's a threat. So there's many of our forefathers, like my wife's side, if I can recall, and also there are a good number of people in India, you will see, and are in Bangladesh, even Pakistan. they were forced to displaced by that because of the people who are Muslim in India with larger property. And when you get also threatened by the Hindu majority over there because of this rule, you are thinking about your security and your next generation. So you leave everything and just whatever money you have and whatever property you have. So same thing, it's about people took advantage of this horrible rule, the using religion as a tool, but it was actually land. Who can take over the land and the property?
Thank you. So anyway, it's my take.
You know, it's not like I'm not a historian. I'm an economist and environmentalist. So, but I understand is all about land. It's nothing to do with religion.
Yes. Thank you for that little history/land lesson. And we're out of time, Seki. But once again, you've brought up another whole thing that would be really wonderful to talk more about. But today we're out of time, so thank you so much, and we will have you on again.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie, and I look forward to meet you, of course, in person, and also I'm happy to join again.
Yes.
This is great.
Wonderful. All right. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
That was Seki Mahmood from Superior, Wisconsin. What a conversation that was about not only his business conference and sustainable businesses in our area, but also the situation and the history in East Asia and how that relates to our current situation. Whew.